podcasting.
The PSAs you hear on Miller and Condon and iHeartMedia Des Moines are presented in part by Nick Mick. We take care of our own. Now, here's Miller and Condon, live from the DraftKings Sportsbook and Wild Rose Studio. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Monday, as we try to work our way back to normalcy, it's Miller and Condon on KXNO. Ken, going to be working via the phone lines here for the next couple of weeks as he is self-quarantining, as somebody in his 60s completely understand that side of it. Ken's going to join me a little bit later on here this hour. But right now, we got one of my favorite people to talk to. He is the college basketball writer at NBCSports.com. He is Rob Doster as he joins us here on a Monday. Rob, normally, we'd be getting ready. We'd have the brackets in front of us. We'd be deep diving into it. No bracket. And I mentioned to the last guest that I had here on the program today, 5 o'clock came around. I was playing with my daughter. I looked at the clock on my phone and saw it was 5:02. And I tell you what, we would not have Cake Wars on the television normally at that time, but she was all about that edit.
Yeah, it was not fun yesterday. I'm kind of going through all that because it was, that's normally the most exciting day of the year for me, for a lot of people. And it's felt like that basically nonstop for the last pretty much 5 days, is that I keep being like, you know what I would normally be doing at this time? I would normally be doing this. I'd normally be doing that. I'd normally be doing something completely different than what I am actually doing. And I don't really know, I'm very confused about what I'm supposed to be doing with my life right now. But I can't tell you how many weeds I've pulled out of my garden already. Normally, I don't start doing that until, mid-May when it's already behind. So I might, my landscaping might actually look pretty good this year as opposed to being an absolute disaster, which is what it normally is. So I don't really know. If anyone has tips on, what to do during the day, I got 2 kids under 5 at home. I got to figure out how to be homeschooling and while also trying to work. I have no idea. Life is very strange how suddenly, that's the big thing, Trent, right? Is how suddenly this kind of came on. I went back and I looked at my Twitter feed and 3 o'clock on Saturday or on Wednesday, I was tweeting about teams that were going to make the bubble. Right? That's literally 5 days ago. We were still having conversations about who's going to be in the bubble, and now, schools and gatherings of over 50 people have been completely shut down. It feels like that was 2 months ago, and it was 5 days.
It's incredible how quickly it changed, and just from the national perspective to the local perspective and on and on and on, and what the future is going to hold and the stories that are out there about the NBA not getting going again until mid to late June. I know Adrian Wojnarowski had that. When all this went down last week, in fact, we were texting a little bit, and I think it was maybe Wednesday that we were texting. He said, hey, not going to be able to make it here late in the week because of everything going on, but I'll join you on Monday and I'll join you again on Thursday. We're going to get you twice this week to talk about this NCAA tournament. And just like that, and I was one of the people that was just surprised at the NCAA tournament because there were coaches, Fran McCaffrey among them, saying, if we need to push this back to May, we're happy to do that. The rosters might look different. That certainly could happen. Maybe guys are getting deals.
Postponing is just not an option.
Right.
You absolutely cannot do it. It's not just the rosters. It's, you have kids that are going to spend the next basically 8 weeks at home. They're not going to be with their teams. They're not going to be practicing. They're not going to be training. Many of these kids don't have the facilities to be able to do the things that they need to do to compete at that level. And then we're going to ask them to go right out and compete in the NCAA tournament there. One, all you're doing is asking for injuries. 2, how are we going to know how these kids are going to be academically eligible at the time? 3, how many of them are going to have gone home and spent time just training for the NBA draft, right? Who knows? Is Luka Garza at this point worried about what's going to happen with Iowa next season? Or is he focusing on maybe putting his name in the draft and seeing how he tests up when he has to go through the combine and do all that kind of stuff? His focus isn't going to be on the college basketball season anymore. And then throwing them all back together to run a tournament, that, how are you going to put that together logistically? It takes years to plan out an NCAA tournament, from finding facilities to securing space within those arenas to being able to rent out the domes that they play in, to putting together the travel for all these kids. It's a 68-team event in 13 different cities. Like, that doesn't come together in 2 weeks. Postponing it was not an option. And I guess, like, in theory, you can say that, like, it's possible to do all that, but not practicality and for all intents and purposes. Like, that's not possible. You can't do that. Postponing was not an option. So it was either you play it against everything that every smart medical professional says that you could do, or you just kind of suck it up and say, like, this is, we don't want to do this, but we don't really have an option.
You know what, you mentioned Luka Garza, and one thing that I want to get your perspective on, and we still have the great unknown of what's going to happen and what's going to happen with guys, you know, when they go through workouts. Are they going to be flying across the country as they normally do and going through workouts with different teams? Well, more than likely not. For a guy like Luka Garza, is that going to impact him even more? Or they're just going to say, he's going to say, look at the tape. Yeah, I'm not the most athletic dude. I'm not going to beat a lot of these guys up and down the floor, but what I'm going to do, you can see. I can score at this level. In a draft that is down, how does that impact Luka Garza?
You know, honestly, I don't even really know. I don't think that he's, like, you kind of know what Luka Garza is at this point, right? Like, it's not like he hasn't developed. It's not like he's an unknown commodity. He's a guy that's heavy-footed. He is a player that's never going to be a great rim protector, but he's a guy that is going to play, give you 110% every single second that he's on the floor. He's a guy that is going to work and work and work and run the floor and post up and score on the block. And, you know he's going to be able to rebound. So to me, like, I just don't think that, given his limitations defensively, I don't think that he is necessarily an NBA player. I do think that he's going to be a guy that makes a ton of money playing for like a decade overseas. There's worse things in the world than being able to go and play in, like, Spain or Italy, assuming that at some point those countries, relieve this lockdown that they have going on. But I do think it's the kind of situation with someone like Luka where it might make him more likely to return, because I just can't see, like, I don't know how they're going to do this pre-draft process. Mm-hmm. I can't fathom that you're going to be flying these kids all over the country to have them go to workouts when basically everyone's saying, like, don't travel, don't leave your house. It just seems like that's the wrong thing to do. So I don't know how this is going to work out. And Luka, to me, is not, you know what you're getting with James Wiseman, right? Like, you know he's going to be a pro. You know Cole Anthony is going to be a one and done. It doesn't really matter. Guys like Luka Garza are the ones that are the question mark. And if he doesn't have a chance to go to these workouts and sell himself in interviews, like, to me, I think the best thing that he has going for him is just getting and meeting a GM face-to-face and talking to him and just selling himself on that, right? I think the interview process is going to be big for him because, I think that his personality and the way that he kind of carries himself, he's got kind of a professional mentality, so to speak, already. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I think that this might end up making it more likely that he comes back. But again, like, I haven't thought too much about it. That's kind of off the cuff.
You know, with that, also guys that are on that fringe and guys that normally maybe would make the jump, unfinished business. Nobody's going to win the national championship this year. Nobody's going to get to a Final Four. And those guys that maybe were juniors and were on that, will I, won't I, what should I do? Coming back for that final season or another season for guys that are freshmen that normally jump, you got to figure there's at least a couple of guys this is going to impact not having an NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think at some point you just kind of have to say, like, look, this is sad and it sucks and it's not something that they're going to be happy remembering about. But you also got to remember, like, it's the goal for probably like 90% of the kids that are playing in college basketball. The goal is to get to the professional ranks and play professional. Yes, they want to, experience the NCAA tournament and compete with their teammates and do all of those other things, but the goal in life isn't to have, like, your best life when you're in college, right? I loved everything that happened in college, but the goal for me was to end up being able to find a profession where I could make the money that I needed to support a family, right? Like, I think it's like that for college basketball players, too. Like, the goal is to one day be able to make a living through basketball, and you do it through the college ranks. And, yes, it's disappointing that they didn't get to compete in the NCAA tournament, but I don't know how many of them I'm sure there are a couple of guys that will say, I need to give this one more go. But I don't know how many of them are going to necessarily say, like, okay, I need to I need to change how I get to the professional route because of what happened here. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, and I think it's kind of like a kid-by-kid basis, to be honest.
Rob Doster joining us, NBCSports.com. Rob, we talked about it at the top, just what normally yesterday is, getting those brackets. I always have a blank one. In fact, I made my own Going way back to the 80s, and I'd fill them out, and I even used a typewriter then to try to make my own brackets that way for a number of years before I finally got a computer. Maybe dating myself just a little bit there. But, Rob, without that yesterday, what teams this impact? The Daytons of the world and Obi Toppin and, you know, the people saying, boy, how good is this guy really? Going through the A-10, a down A-10 this season. Didn't get a chance to see him outside of some highlights. And San Diego State, a Final Four possibly upon them. There are teams that this impacts in a big-time way, and that's the part. You never know. It's the great unknown of the NCAA tournament. We're not going to have that. But those individual programs certainly got to be towards the top of the list of the impact it makes to them.
Well, I mean, yes. Look, Dayton fans, like, you're never going to have this opportunity again. You know, well, I don't want to say never, but it's very, very unlikely that you're going to have a top 10 pick and be a top 5 team in a year where nobody seems like they're really all that good, right? Like, how often are we going to have a season where none of the great teams are just absolutely loaded with pros? So I think this was the year. Like, if you wanted to be a great mid-major program and make a run at a national title, like, this was the year to do it. It was perfectly set up for Dayton to make a run, perfectly set up for San Diego State to make a run, perfectly set up for Gonzaga to have their chance to win it all, perfectly set up for someone like a Baylor, even, to be able to have, like, a great, memorable season that I don't know is necessarily replicable. And it's not just them that I feel for. Like, what about the kids at Rutgers? You know, like, how long have they been there? It's been 29 years since they made an NCAA tournament, and they were going to get in, and they didn't have a chance to experience it, right? How about Lamar Stevens? He was there. He was at Penn State for 4 years. He came back. He could have gone pro last year. He came back to put together this run. He is 7 points away from becoming Penn State's all-time leading scorer, and he finally made the tournament, and they were going to put this all together, and now it just got pulled away from him in the blink of an eye. It's kids like that that I feel for, you know? Now, how about the kids at Hofstra? They're built on seniors, and they haven't been to the tournament in 19 years, and now those kids at Hofstra are going to have to go home without ever experiencing it, despite earning it this year. So, there's a lot of kids that I just, you know, it's not fun. And for us, like, we love it, right? Like, this is entertainment, a way to get us through the end of winter and into kind of the summer months. But for them, like, that's something they've been working for 6 months, and they don't get a chance to experience it. I feel for them. It sucks.
Figuratively, the world is burning around us, and Saturday we find out that Rick Pitino is coming back to college basketball. I mean, of all the surreal moments of the last 5 days, that one was right up there. That one just, I mean, you talk about a shocker, at least to me, and not being inside of it. I know there had been some conversation and some things that have been talked about, but I was just absolutely blindsided with all the news going on that I get that nugget of news.
Yeah, well, I kind of expected it. You know, he's been trying to get back in for a while, and there were a couple of openings last year that really considered him and just couldn't pull the trigger, and eventually Iona did. And honestly, like, the thing that's concerned, like, that's weird about it to me is that they don't know what the punishment is going to be from the NCAA for everything that happened at Louisville with the NCAA and the FBI investigation into the stuff with Brian Bowen. And that's the big question mark. It's like, what, like, are they going to hit him with a show cause? How much of a suspension is he going to get? Like, it's a little surprising that he got hired with that hanging over his head. But I'm not worried about the stuff that happened before that with, like, Katina Powell and that scandal, simply because, like, I refuse to believe that he knew. I don't think that it would be, let's just put it like this. If it's Rick Pitino, right, you would think that if that's the way that he wanted to go to try to entice players to go there, they would go with something a little bit more high-end, if that makes sense. So he is not, what they did, what Louisville did in that entire thing, what Andre McGibb did, was incredibly dumb. And Rick Pitino, like, all the, whatever you want to criticize him for, like, is not dumb enough to do that or have any knowledge of it or allow it to go on within his program if he knew it was happening. So I'm not worried about that. I just think with everything that might be coming with the NCAA's investigation and the FBI's investigation, it just was surprising that he was able to get hired.
Yeah, and that still lingers out there. And another just kind of weird layer to this is where Iona College is located in New Rochelle, New York, which is one of the main kind of hot spots, if you will, of what's happening with COVID-19. This is a big part there, and he flew in there and got the deal done, at the very least, we have to assume, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's risky doing that. It's risky going in there.
Right.
But, yeah, he got the job. He got hired. And, look, as someone that enjoys basketball, put all your personal feelings for Rick Pitino aside, like, he is one of the best college basketball coaches that we've ever seen. And the mid-major ranks just got better. And I can already tell you, I don't want to see Iona in the first round of the NCAA tournament next year.
Yeah, that's a team that's going to make a run, and all of a sudden there it is, and the stories that'll come out. He'll turn it around quickly. He does it every single place that he is. This guy, there's the off-court things, there's the Italian restaurant, you have all those components, and make all the jokes that you will. That dude knows how to coach, and that guy will turn that program. And it doesn't really need to turn around. I mean, this is certainly the best program of the last 15, 20 years in the Metro Athletic.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Clues has done a phenomenal job with them. They've, I think from 2012 to 2019, they either won the MAC regular season conference title or the MAC tournament title, and they made four NCAA tournaments in that span. Like, Iona's already a really, really good program, like, as things are going on. And now you just so happen to have a Hall of Fame coach that has something to prove to a lot of people. So, yeah, I think Iona is going to be pretty good for a while.
So one of the final things I want to bring up to you, Rob, well, for years, when I first met you, at least our conversations on the radio, your Twitter profile pic was you laying on midcourt at the Final Four, confetti all around you, laying on your back, looking up at the camera with a big smile on your face. You're not going to get that shot this year, so are you going to put anything in the place for 2020, anything to fill in the gap?
I have no idea, man. I haven't got that far. I'm still in mourning.
Right there with you. Going to be certainly wild times right now, but in college sports, you have recruiting. You have guys transferring. In fact, you know, looking at a bunch of college basketball guys' feeds today, there's players announcing that they're going to be looking around, that they're going to be transferring. It's not going to end for you. You're still going to have plenty to talk about and write about.
Yeah, look, all it did was just accelerate the transfer market. And I'll tell you what, it's never been easier to get a college basketball coach on the phone right now. And if you're a college basketball coach and you're not working those phones and trying to figure out those transfer markets, you're going to end up falling behind. So with the possibility that transfers could end up being eligible immediately, mm-hmm. combined with the fact that all these guys are back at home and a lot of them are not allowed on campus, it could get wild, man. Buckle up, because it could be a very, very interesting transfer offseason.
Stay safe, Rob, out there. Good talking with you again. We'll do it again here at some point, I'm going to guess, in the coming months.
Well, good catching up, man. And let Ken know, pass on word to him that I said that I did this interview, even though I had to talk with you the whole time in solidarity with him, because I know he's in self-quarantine.
Yes.
He needed something fun to listen to.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll keep him up there. Thanks for your time today, Rob.
Take care, man.
Rob Doster, NBCSports.com. Find him on Twitter, at Rob Doster, as he joins us here throughout college basketball season. With that, we're going to take another timeout. When we come back, it's time to talk some Cyclones, the impact there. And Jamie Pollard came out today, the athletic director at Iowa State University, with, I thought, a very good. Now, I haven't had a chance to read through all of that. In fact, that's what I'm going to be doing here during the break. But he sent a message to Cyclone fans. Very good. Some really interesting things in there. We'll talk about that and see what else is going on in the world of Cyclone athletics. Alex Halstead coming your way as we continue on. Taking you up until noon. Ken will be back with us late in this hour as we'll take you up till 12 o'clock here on Miller and Condon. 1460 KXNO and now on 106.org.
Ken Miller, Trent Condon, Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO.
And now on 106.3 FM.
Miller and Condon continues, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Trent Condon here, joined by Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com. Ken going to be back with us later on. If you missed it, Ken made the decision. He is going to self-quarantine here for the next few weeks. Certainly understand the impact, but he'll be back on the phone line with me here to finish off the show. Before that, though, let's talk a little Cyclones with Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com. Alex, it's been quite the week. Just a week ago, in fact, you made the decision not to head to Kansas City a week ago as they were getting ready for their matchup against Oklahoma State, and it feels like that game was played a year ago. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Yeah, we talked last week, a week after that game, and we were talking, and it was kind of in the midst of the cancellations coming down. The Big 12 announced it while we were on the air, and the ACC did then a little bit later, and in the week or so, I guess a little bit less than a week since we talked, it felt like a lot longer, and we've basically seen the entire sports world come to a halt. So it's been quite a few days since we talked last.
No doubt. It has been interesting to keep your mind on everything and your eye on everything. Jamie Pollard, the athletic director for Iowa State, he was part of the NCAA men's basketball committee. He was going to be one of the people that was in the room here throughout last weekend, making the decision, the 68 teams in the bracket, the at-large teams, who was going to be there, what the seeding was going to be, obviously taken off the schedule. But he had a open letter that he sent to Cyclone fans up at Cyclones.com, talking about some of the things that he learned. And that's some very interesting things to unpack, coming from New York City and the people that he was around and the people that he talked to and the perspective that he gained as he made his way back to Ames.
Yeah, I think the most notable part that he had in there from his experience, like you said, going to New York for that selection committee, was that, you know, when he left, he thought it was kind of overblown, and he thought it maybe was being made a bigger deal than it was. And now he said as he comes back, he kind of understands the full scope of it, and especially, I think, being in New York City where, you know, I think starting Tuesday, they're going to be closing bars and restaurants to takeout only and stuff. And so that's obviously a much different world there in New York to begin with. But then you just factor in how many people and how many measures that they're going to there. I think, I don't know how much of that he saw, but that seemed to be his big takeaway. And then, you know, the other one that's obviously Iowa State related is he said he's already talked to several coaches and staff, including Matt Campbell, about, you know, what does this mean if there is no spring practice? You know, Iowa State was supposed to begin spring practice on March 24th. It was going to expected to be running through April 25th. You know, the Big 12 says you can't even start until March 29th, so that for sure pushes it back probably at least a week, but it's going to probably be much longer than that, and it's possible that Iowa State could have spring practice. And how does it affect not only them, but obviously college football teams around the country as they go into the summer and fall camp? That's something he said he himself and Matt Campbell have talked about. So the letter was kind of wide-ranging, both on his experience and how it's kind of opened his eyes, but also, you know, how this could affect Iowa State when this crisis kind of, you know, everyone hopes comes to a close by the summer.
Yeah, that's certainly the hope, and this continues to be a fluid situation. I found that part interesting, too, that you brought up, him talking with Coach Campbell, what it's going to look like if this football program doesn't get spring practice, if the NCAA maybe opens up the season a little bit earlier, if we pass and we get into July and they say, you know what, we're going to give these teams an extra week of practice, an extra 2 weeks of practice, whatever it is, and the impact of a program like Iowa State that isn't churning out 4- and 5-star players all the time, more of a developmental type program, you feel, at least on the surface, that's going to impact Iowa State more than, say, a Texas or an Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think it definitely impacts Iowa State. And, you know, we had had our chances, you know, all the media to, you know, sit down with him. And I had kind of gone over with him, spent several minutes talking about, you know, how they were going to structure spring practice. And this year they were going to do it differently. They had made the decision to wait till after spring break to start spring practice. And that's why they were going to start March 24th. And it was going to go much later. You know, normally they were ending early to mid-April. This one was going to end, the last scrimmage was going to be April 25th. And so they were going to go, you know, those 5-6 weeks, 3 practices a day, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. That was going to give them more winter workouts with new strength and conditioning coach Dave Andrews. He said it was going to be a lot more fundamental focus and less scheme, because he feels like, you know, they're returning a lot of players who know the scheme, but they wanted to get back into some of the details and fundamentals that we kind of harped on and talked about last fall. So this was going to be kind of a different spring practice for them, and I think he was excited to get into that, and it's an important spring for them to bring back a lot of these players and hope to try to build on what they did last season, but kind of go into this next 2020 season kind of on a little bit faster note, jump into it a little bit quicker and more positive results early. So this definitely impacts. And I think that's going to be the interesting thing, is what does the NCAA do? Because, you know, it's not just Iowa State. I'm assuming pretty much everybody hasn't started spring practice. They're supposed to start right now. So if you did start, you probably only had a couple practices. Will they say, hey, you can, you know, spend your summer workout time with the coaches now? You know, can you do some practices in June if everything's cleared by then? That's what's going to be interesting, is, you know, is how they change that, if they change it at all. And, you know, if they do, you know, how do teams want to structure it? Because you don't want players to be burnt out in the summer, but you also want to try to maximize anything you can get before you get to fall camp in August.
Alex Alstead, CycloneAlert.com. Spring football delayed, pushed back, suspended, canceled, whatever term you want to use for it. We're not going to see it, certainly, for the foreseeable future. Another thing is on-campus visits for recruiting, and that's something you do a ton of at Cyclone Alert. Is it still too early in the process? Have you talked to Coach Campbell or anybody in the coaching staff about what that's going to mean for them? Of course, we know, you know, high school prospects aren't going to be coming to campus, but diving a little bit deeper, how much it's going to change in the recruiting world.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to have an impact. You know, Iowa State is probably lucky that they got a lot of their top prospects for this class in town on February 1st. You know, they at least got a lot of the Midwest guys, you know, some of their top priorities at different positions. You know, we talked about it back at the time. You know, that February 1st date was huge for them. Mm-hmm. They've had several commitments come out of that one, and they've had several visitors that, you know, those were the key guys that have now been to campus. And, you know, recruiting is for sure put on hold until April 15th. You know, schools can't bring kids in. And so that's going to have an impact. You know, you look at the coming weeks, I talked to several prospects, both in Iowa and just kind of around the Midwest and elsewhere, that were coming to a practice on, you know, March 28th, that were coming to a practice, especially, I think, the weekend of April 11th. I think they were going to have a scrimmage and have a lot of big targets in town. So, you know, those visits can't happen, and it's going to impact different programs to different degrees because, you know, some programs haven't really been heavy on visits yet. They were going to wait till spring ball. Well, now they can't bring kids in. And so, you know, you've seen from our national guys have kind of talked to different people who have said this recruiting stuff could impact, you know, the early signing date. Does the NCAA do anything with that? Because, you know, visits are going to be pushed back so much. It could impact, you know, the fact that the schools that got their targets in early might have kind of an upper hand because a lot of those recruits just kind of have to stay home until, you know, who knows when. So it's definitely going to have a role. I haven't necessarily heard from Matt Campbell and his staff about what it's going to be. You know, I know their thought last week this time was that I was told that it's, you know, quote, fluid. And then within the next 24 to 48 hours, you know, the decision had been made for them by the NCAA that there can't be recruiting. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how that unfolds.
Going to be a lot of layers to peel back there. Any news at all when you talk about Cyclone football recruiting, anything there? And that also kind of lays over to the basketball side of things. You know, we've speculated about what the roster is going to look like and what Steve Prohm, what he needs to do to build this roster up to put them in consideration, maybe to be a tournament team next year. It seems like work needs to be done. Anything newsy starting to happen yet?
Not yet, and that's what's, you know, kind of been the thing is I thought after the NCAA tournament or after Iowa State season was over, that's when we'd start to hear some transfer names, but you've kind of seen that market kind of even sit at a standstill. You're seeing guys enter the transfer portal because, you know, the college basketball season's over, and so everybody's kind of entering the portal a little bit earlier. But because visits can't really happen for at least a month, you know, you're really not seeing a whole lot of action. But, you know, I expect Iowa State to be involved with a few transfers. I think the one thing that we could see in the next couple weeks is, you know, after spring break, I think Steve Prohm probably still plans to meet with Tyrese Halliburton and do his end of season meeting. So you could see within the next week or so, Tyrese Halliburton make his decision on the NBA public, and then also potentially anything Iowa State related in the transfer portal. So you're going to start to see their scholarship situation come into focus. But in terms of guys coming to campus, you know, that's kind of a little bit on hold. So it's just kind of all up in the air. And not only that, but, you know, they were going to start to probably put out more offers for the 2021 recruiting class. And all those AAU leagues have canceled their spring recruiting. And so there's not going to be coaches on the road in April. There's not going to be the Nike EYBL or the Adidas Gauntlet. You know, those things aren't going to happen. So basically, you know, we talked about football recruiting being pushed back with visits. The evaluation period for coaches for the 2021 recruiting class might really be pushed towards July.
Going to be wild times, no doubt. Alex Halstead will keep us at the top of our list as we talk Cyclones going forward, and more news will continue to trickle out. We'll get into that with Alex. Here, have your spring series going on right now. Alex going through each of the position groups. Iowa State running back, tight end position. Know a couple of those up there on the front page right now at CycloneAlert.com. Guess that's the plan going forward. A lot of speculation about what this team's going to look like come fall.
Yeah, I started my spring series before we knew all this stuff. You know, I was planning it exactly. You know, there's 10 different positions if you kind of count it out. And I was going to do, you know, 2 weeks, 5 weekdays each week leading directly up to the start of spring practice. And I think the first sentence says leading up to the March 24th start. I just realized the other day I need to start editing that part out. So I'm going to still continue. And I think, you know, it's kind of a reprieve for people to still kind of look towards football season and that sort of thing. So it's still interesting to kind of look at all these positions, but obviously, you know, it's not leading up to spring ball exactly. And, you know, that was kind of what I was looking forward to most here in the next couple of weeks is, you know, next Tuesday we were going to talk to Matt Campbell, and then we were going to have 5-6 opportunities to talk to the assistants and players from every position and, you know, start to kind of dive into some of these different storylines. And that's kind of all on hold too. So it's going to be interesting, but still going to try to find some areas, and, you know, maybe this will be a time to really try to dive into the recruiting and see, you know, where Iowa State stands for some of these kids, even if they can't get to campus.
Thank you, Alex. Good talking with you.
Yep, thanks, Trent.
Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com, here on Miller and Condon. We'll get the Miller part in here to cap things off. Ken Miller jumping back on with us with his self-quarantine, going to be away for a couple of weeks at least, live in studio, but he's going to join me every day. We're still going to do our thing. We're still going to talk sports. We're still going to have topics to get into. We're going to look back. We're going to get through history. We'll finish things off. Ken Miller joining me as we take you up until noon. It's Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and now 106.
Member FDIC.
Back one final time. Miller and Condon continues 1460 KXNO and now on 106.3 FM. Back to the phone lines again. We got Ken Miller back with us to put a wrap on things here on our Monday show. Ken, well, this is unprecedented territory, as we've talked about at the top. This is certainly wild time, but normally at the end of the program, we're talking about what we're keeping our eye on for this evening. You make fun of me and what I'm going to be betting on tonight. Got nothing in that account, certainly, I'm going to be fired at here this evening. Last night, speaking of that, there was a pool for the Democratic debate between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. They had a pool number of times they would say millionaire, number of times they would say billionaire, number of times on and on and on. People, people are sick like me. In fact, people are probably sicker than me trying to figure out what am I going to bet on here to make the time pass here over the next few months.
So was it actually, you could actually bet like real money, or was it kind of fantasy? I know it was the DraftKings app you were on.
Yes.
I think you tweeted that last night. I mean, you can't bet on elections, at least for now, in this country. You can't otherwise. And, you know, in the UK, you can bet on the American election. I did see, I think it was Darren Ravel or somebody put out, that he pointed out how many people participated in the same exercise you did last night. And he believes, therefore, there's an appetite for wagering on elections in the country. And I think you got to tap the brakes a little bit on that. There was nothing else to do.
Right.
So everybody that had the shakes, like yourself,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm guessing that if there would have been Sunday night baseball or, you know, a basketball game or whatever, you probably wouldn't have given the second thought to, you know, playing the debate between Sanders and Biden last night. So I did see that. It's times we've never seen before, Trent. I mean, with the Vegas, with the casinos shutting down in Vegas, you know, I mean, who would have thought, right? Who would have thought that all of those properties on the Strip, those multi-billion-dollar enterprises, would close their doors? And for the foreseeable future, you know, as we talked earlier, we have no idea when sports is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
If they come back at all this year, and I'm talking about the winter sports, the NHL and the NBA, baseball, who knows when it's going to get going. The Kentucky Derby is going to be shelved. The Masters already has been. So it's just batten down the hatches and try and get through this.
So speaking of that DraftKings app, I opened it up to see how I did in my pool. Not very good. No free money. It was a free contest that it went into. They have a couple other free of those the Survivor contest, things like that are going on right now on that app. But as I was perusing around, usually we get games of the year for college football. The point spreads that come out May,
right.
June, right in that range?
Yeah, June used to be when I think it was the Gold Nugget that was always mm-hmm. first. And then there was a couple of companies that decided, you know what, well, why should we wait for June? And sure, tradition is one thing, but we're not associated or affiliated with the Gold Nugget. We're going to put out some of our lines and, you know, and do so. Why should we wait if we think that we've got a legitimate number? The minimums are going to be low. But you know what? That's a really good suggestion as to once these books open up, is to get those out. Are you saying you've seen some?
Oh, I've seen some. Yeah, on the DraftKings app now. They have the top 25 games in college football. The point spreads are out for those games, starting with August 29th, Navy-Notre Dame. They're playing, what, in Ireland for that game, if I remember
correctly? Yeah, playing in Ireland, yeah.
The Irish are a 14.5-point favorite there against the Midshipmen. And there is one local game on there. It'll be the final game of the regular season for the Iowa Hawkeyes as Wisconsin will come to town. Of course, no Black Friday with Nebraska right. this year. It'll be ending the season with the Badgers. Nebraska in Kinnick Stadium. I'm putting your feet to the fire, Ken Miller. Hawkeyes, what's the point spread here against the Badgers?
The point spread against the Badgers is a Hawks 3.
You're close on the number. It's Wisconsin favored by 2.5.
Is it?
Bucky minus 2.5. They also got the money line on here. Plus 120 if you're all about the Hawkeyes getting it done in the final Saturday of the year. It is happening, and this is something, too. They're working for content. They're looking for things to do. The people that make these lines, well, they don't have their nightly, daily, whatever it may be, kind of get-together as they're putting together lines. So they're looking for things, looking for. I would guess within the next few weeks after we get through this NFL free agency period, once we get through this, that there's going to be not just week one lines. We might have lines for every single NFL game week after week.
Well, the company that that I work for, they do that with the exception of week 17.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs come out usually in early May. A line is posted for every one of the NFL games starting week one through week 16. Week 17 is, you know, too difficult to do with, you know, who needs to play, who's going to rest their starters, those type of things. But yeah, I'm with you, Trent. And the sad part is a lot of these people are going to be laid off, yeah. or they're going to be furloughed or whatever. So the staff that they do is probably going to be tasked with doing some of those type of exercises. And it makes perfect sense to do it, right? I mean, everybody or most people have the app on their phone, and you know you're killing time. I have to think that horse racing, the parimutuel industry, is going to see a significant uptick. That's all there was this past weekend, right? You could bet on horses if you're so inclined. And even though there's people that, you know, probably have gone away from it, a lot of people have from betting on horses. This might bring some people back just because it's the only game in town at a lot of places. I mean, a lot of tracks are racing. Most tracks are racing without fans. Some states have shut down already. But for the time being, I know that the handle was up across the over the weekend across the racing industry, double digits, and that's probably going to be the case for the foreseeable future.
So with that, help us out. I've never done it outside of, you know, going to Prairie, going to a track and making a bet. So how this works, I mean, is it very similar to people now that are able to do sports betting online? Is it just as simple as you open up an account with, and what company do you go through to even open an account?
Well, there's various companies. I use ExpressBet.com. They're owned by the Stronach Group, which owns Santa Anita and Gulfstream. There's Twin Spires. That's the biggest one. Of course, that's the Churchill Downs entity. Mm-hmm. There's TVG.com, and you can watch the races on TVG, which is 602 on DirecTV. But, yeah, you just open an account. It's legal in 42 states, I think, 42 states to bet on horses. And then it's just simple. You just click on, instead of clicking the sport, you click on the track you want to bet on. And, you know, you bet whatever pools that the host track is offering, you can bet right into those. So, your money's put in the account as soon as the race is run, whether you win, hopefully that's the case, or it's taken out once you hit submit. And then you watch the races and, you can fund your account from home. You can withdraw from home. It's simple to do. And that's, I've been betting on horses online, Trent, since the early 90s when it first began. And that's why there's so few people going to the races anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, 80% of the handle on horse racing is done by people betting on the internet. So if there's something that you have to do, if you have to make a bet, a lot of people are finding that the horses really are, at least for now, something that they can scratch that itch.
No doubt. Well, as we normally talk about here, what we're keeping an eye on this evening, do you have a new series now that you're diving into? Do you have something you're getting ready to rewatch? What's going to be on the television with no sports going on this evening?
Well, I'm going to watch a lot of NFL Network in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I legitimately don't know. First 48, those type of things, some of those cop shows. I'm into the food shows.
Yeah,
watched a lot of Man versus Food or Man Fire Food, whatever the heck it's called. I don't know, Trent. I mean, nobody does, right? It's just, you know, you're getting to know your spouse again in a lot of cases, which isn't a bad thing, myself included. it's just, we don't know. And sadly, it's going to be like this for, God, weeks, if not months.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. And even, you know, when we get sports back, it'll eventually happen. It's not like sports are done forever. That's not the case. But in the here and now, it's about being cognizant of what's happening around you, being thinking about your fellow man, too, not just about yourself and what it may be, but everybody else out there. And you know, going back, and we talked about this earlier, Ken, but when this was first coming up, and you mentioned it to me for the first time, and I scoffed for weeks and weeks, and it took a long time for me to even realize the impact that this could make. I personally thought it was just another one of the alarmist things that we hear on news media that comes out from time to time. I thought it was another in the line of past of these that have come through, and nothing really happens in the grand scheme of things. This is so much deeper than that. This is so much scarier than that.
There's no question. And now is the time, if you possibly can. And again, as I said at the top, I'm very grateful to you for, you know, allowing me to go through this. Everybody's got to do it their own way. And I and Cindy are going to choose to self-isolate because, you know, we're in that demographic, and I'm not sure that it's eventually going to be found out that really no demographic is going to escape this thing, but it's legit. And if you just follow the, you know, the data that's out there and look at the curves, and we're trending exactly the way that Italy and South Korea did. And if you see what's happening in those countries, and the fact that they had testing way before we did, or testing available way before we did, I think that we're in for a jolt here in the next couple of weeks, clearly. And everybody that has the same theory I do hopes we're wrong. But boy, oh boy, it sure feels like, unfortunately, that this is the way that's going. So thank you for at least the foreseeable future for allowing me to do a couple of segments at home, as I'm going to try and, you know, not add to those statistics.
No doubt. Well, we will talk to you again tomorrow on the program, as we're going to start to take some deep dives into some of the great teams here around the state of Iowa. We're going to talk about not just the big games, the big moments that we remember, Iowa, Michigan, 1985, but we're going to go a little bit deeper into those games. We're not just going to talk about the Elite Eight game for Iowa State, Michigan State. We're going to go through those seasons, and we're going to get your memories of things. We're going to get sound clips and highlights. We're going to make at least a little bit of fun, a little bit of levity here to some of the great teams here in our state of Iowa in the coming weeks.
Sounds like fun.
It is. It's going to be a good time. We'll try to keep you entertained. That'll do it for the program here today. Miller and Condon taking you up until noon each and every weekday here on 1460 KXNO along with 106.3 FM. We got Murph and Andy coming your way at 2 o'clock, followed by the Sports Fanatics. And it starts again tomorrow morning with the Morning Rush on your local programming. Thanks for listening, everybody.